Welcome to Nerd Management, all you nerds and nerdettes. We are recording live from Frosty Pookie Eddie Eddie. With us here today, we've got our nerd manager, Alec Ward.
What's up?
We've got some special guests. My beautiful wife, Tiffany Swopes, is in the house with us.
Hello.
She's going to talk a little bit about comics. And then we got
my BFF,
Michael. He's via FaceTime because Skype is expensive all of a sudden.
$5?
Yeah, stupid Skype. But FaceTime's free for all you Apple users, so enjoy that. There's a lot of things to enjoy in Apple, but we'll get right on with the comics. Alec, give us a little breakdown of what comics you liked this week and what comics you didn't like. All that fun stuff that we always do.
Well, this week was so difficult because it had Batman, which I'm a huge Batman fan, and it had The Return of Saga, which is one of the best comics that's out right now, and then on top of that, it's got Infinity.
Frosty Pookie Eddie Eddie.
But, and then Infinity started this week, which I know you don't read any of the Avengers stuff, but Mike, you did. But I loved it. I think my favorite, book is probably Saga. I love that book so much, and to see it come back from kind of a break, it warmed my cuckles. So
it was definitely a cuckle warmer. For
it was
sure.
A cuckle warmer for
yeah,
sure.
I'm so, gonna ask
the big cuckle sock.
I really like seeing. I don't know. They just used a lot of the characters. Like where before, kind of certain issues would focus on one or two characters. This really showed you what all of the characters are up to, which I kind of needed after the break because I wasn't really sure.
Because they left it on kind of a cliffhanger with them in the attic, and you didn't really find out. I sound like I'm talking about World War II, but and you didn't really find out what that was about. And it's nice that they kind of are doing a little bit of backstory.
They showed us
it.
Where the Will and Lion Cat are and stuff, it'd been a while since we've seen this.
The Will is like one of my favorite characters, and he's kind of a bad guy, and I love it.
I thought it was really good. What was your meh book of the week?
JLA, number 7.
Really?
I think. Yeah, it was good, but with Batman and Saga and Infinity, it just kind of got lost in the shuffle.
JLA had, the only thing I didn't like is the cliffhanger ending with Wonder Woman getting a hold of Pandora.
Yeah.
That wasn't really that interesting to me. But the issue overall I really liked, and I understood the team breakdowns a little bit. I remember before we were talking about how everyone split off, and like the teams that we knew had kind of fractured off and started new teams. And so I wasn't really sure who was on Justice League Dark, who was on JLA, and who was on the regular Justice League. That was a little clearer this time.
Yeah.
I felt like I really knew what was going on. And I really liked that. Remember I've been talking about how stupid Simon Bass has been for, like, overall.
That was cool.
He had a really good first story arc.
Yeah.
But then he just kind of became a non-character to me and wasn't really important. And then in JLA, he had a cool moment, but screwed it up, and Barry Allen called him out and said, Al could have done it.
Yeah,
and
I was like, okay, that was hysterical.
That was like a great moment. And then he's like, oh, sorry, that was mean.
Yeah.
Well, I like that Barry Allen like realizes that sometimes he's a jerk, but he does it with love, so it's fine.
Well, and I don't want to pick up Phantom Stranger just to see where that team's at.
Yeah.
I don't really like that so much, but
I don't know that I care.
I don't. That's the thing.
But same with Constantine. That was my
I will like that. I will like that Constantine wasn't in JLA at all.
Well, because it sticks with the continuity of what's going on, so
yeah.
I really liked that. But I don't... The story arc with him being, like, dead or ghosted or whatever's going on with that, I wasn't really super into that whole thing, and it's just not a really good story. Constantine has been good, and it will be good again. I just
it's
think right now they're trying
like
to do this. Well, he's not anymore. It's that Ray Fox guy.
Okay. But still,
also
he's
a good writer.
Yeah.
And he's doing a good job on the book. It's just this, like, trying to fill in the gaps before Eternity War is over. It's been kind of boring.
Yeah.
But
Tiffany, what was your books of the week?
I'll explain this later. I get all my information from Warner. So, based on the art from last week, I think that new Jeff Lemire book looks really cool.
But, oh, yeah. We talked about Trillium quite a bit last week.
to read it because it looks so cool. It's an interesting concept compared to... But I'm not a big fan of just reading single comics. I like them in trade form because I forget what happened the month before.
No, that's... Yeah.
I'm really bad about it.
Especially when something like that that's like a 6-issue arc, so it's like it's going to be, you know...
I will read anything that Warner puts in my hand that's in trade form, but not in individual issues.
I don't let you touch my individual comics. Those are safe and sacred. Michael, tell us a little bit about what you thought of Infinity this week.
I liked Infinity. I've always enjoyed Thanos because I grew up reading a bunch of Deadpool, so he was a big antagonist for Deadpool for so long. So, I mean, I've enjoyed Thanos. I like that he's getting to be a main villain now in the Marvel Universe. I really just stick to Marvel. I don't venture into the DC arena.
I give him crap for that all the time. But no, I agree with what you're saying because Thanos kind of was like a big deal in like the late 80s in Marvel. He was in everything.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he kind of like trickled out in the 90s and 2000s. And so for him to be coming back, and obviously it has everything to do with him being in Avengers and all that stuff.
Well, he's one of my... He's one of my favorite, not like villains or anything, just like characters. I think he's so interesting, I love to see his, I love seeing his return and everything like that.
I like the outer space stuff a lot. I took the time to buy the Galactus miniseries from about 10 years ago. I just like the outer space stuff quite a bit.
Celestials and stuff.
Yeah,
I will say you would probably like Infinity if you ever wanted to catch up. It's got a very Final Crisis sort of feel to it.
Yes.
Yeah, it really does. Like it.
I don't know, maybe I should borrow it from you guys.
But see, if you don't read New Avengers, and even
Michael's just reading Infinity, and he's going to be okay with it.
It's going to be just like Civil War. I'll piece the stuff together. Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're the greatest writers ever.
Right.
It's a good, but you can piece it together.
It's definitely not Morrison, so I mean, you can piece it together pretty easily, but. No, I really liked it. That's definitely worth an honorable mention this week for me. And it's huge. It's a huge book.
There were a lot of honorable mentions.
I started buying comics again, and I purchased it. So.
Yeah, same.
I also got him hooked on Guardians of the Galaxy, so bam.
Don't let Warner fool you about not liking Marvel, because he totally wrote a research paper in high school about it.
I did. I wrote my research paper in high school, senior English, on why Marvel was better than DC. I was an immature child back then, and I didn't realize the greatness.
Give us a little bit of why.
At the time, I was saying because it was based in our reality, and like
the
cities are like New York and LA and stuff like that, and DC has made up fictional cities. But I almost like that better because I don't know. It's just hard to take yourself out of. Now, as a grown up, I like it better because. Yeah. It's hard to take yourself out of, like, oh, New York just got destroyed for the 30,000th time.
Well, it's like watching any of the new Christopher Nolan Batman films. You see parts of Chicago that you go down all the time.
That's true.
Yeah.
You have a hard time displacing yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I think like Stan Lee always said that he always wanted the, like, in the Marvel Universe, the comics that they would read would be the DC Universe. Like, that's how we always said it, which I thought was funny.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I want to give an honorable mention, speaking of Fantastic. Fantastic Four was really good. It consistently is good. Matt Fraction does an awesome job on the book.
Matt Fraction reads it?
It was really good this week.
I'm on issue 6, so I only have a couple of issues to catch up.
It was really good, but...
I'm reading that and FF at the same time.
But then another book... Star Wars was great. Star Wars has been great. Brian Wood writes it. And normally I hate any of Brian Wood's, when he writes for properties.
Sure.
Like, he's really good with creator-owned stuff, but when he writes for properties, his stuff's just like, ugh.
Well, he wrote Mouse Guard, is that right?
No. Did he? I don't think that's right. No. No, I think that's wrong. I think that's false. Are you still there, Michael?
No.
No. He disappeared.
Shut off.
You disappeared.
You look like me.
Oh, there you are.
Just keep that going. No, but anyway, Brian Wood, he writes Star Wars right now, and it's a story that takes place between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
So it's like how they get to Hoth.
Right.
I'm not sure what he's going to do when they actually get there, because then you're just writing an Empire Strikes Back book. But I would be okay with that.
He could do, you know, maybe he could, I don't know, I don't read it.
Well,
but
he focuses really strongly, this is why I was going to mention that the book is really good. For one, it's very Han Solo-centric right now, which I really like. But he also focuses, one of the main characters of the book is Wedge Antilles, who, this is for another day, this conversation, but I have a whole entire rant about how Wedge Antilles is actually the hero of Star Wars the entire time.
Is that one of your fans?
He's just such a tiny part of the whole thing, but he was there for the destruction of the first Death Star. He's the one that comes up with the idea to harpoon the legs around the AT-AT walkers when they're in Hoth. Nobody says, hey, thanks, Wedge, for saving our lives back on Hoth.
Don't get him started. I had to listen to like an hour of this in the van the other day.
He is a major player in the destruction of the Death Star the third time, but everyone just thanks Lando, who just crashes.
Doesn't really do
Falcon
a whole
a
lot. Yeah,
he's just not a terrible. And then he has Nian Nun just going, you know. So
can you do that impression again?
No, I'm not going to do that. The whole time Wedge Antilles is like a main player of all this. And if you remember in A New Hope, Wedge Antilles is there for the entire time, almost, of destroying the Death Star.
Mm.
And what happens when they go back to get awards on Yavin
4? Oh, you don't see him.
Luke gets an award. Han Solo gets an award. Chewbacca
first
gets
of all,
waved at,
first
I guess.
Of all, and Han Solo is one of my favorite things ever. Why does he get an award?
Well, he shot... Because
he's Han Solo.
He shot,
okay.
He shot Darth Vader's TIE Fighter and sent it off shooting into space.
But, like you said, in the grand scheme of things,
Wedge did way more.
Right.
And Wedge just sits there and like
Porkins did way more. And he dies.
I have written some fan fiction where that ceremony where they all get awards is actually just the beginning of Porkins' just grandiose funeral. It's really quite lovely. It's beautiful. There's
closed casket, of course.
Closed casket. They're just space chunks. And there's like a...
I want to start a band just called Space Chunks.
there's a X-Wing funeral procession that just very well organized and synchronized.
Yeah.
Which is difficult to do when you have just all of space.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, back to what we were saying. Star Wars is a really good book, and it focuses a lot on Wedge, and I think that's probably where he's going to go if he gets into like the movie stuff.
Yeah.
Because Wedge is kind of such a small part in the movies that maybe the book will be more focused on like what Wedge was doing that whole time.
That's cool.
And that would be a kind of
or
cool
see
idea.
Lando, like, I mean, how he actually comes into contact
that
with
would be
Vader
cool too.
Like,
Lando hasn't shown up in the book yet, but that would actually be really awesome if that's what happens.
Because, I mean, in the movie, he just shows up.
Yeah,
and you just kind of assume that he, you know,
that he was somehow talking to Darth Vader, but why did
right.
Darth Vader go there, and how did he
exactly,
go?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so that's I think that's a good...
I would like to say, because we're on the topic of Star Wars, D23 was this last weekend.
No Star Wars announcements. Well,
none.
Minimal Star Wars announcement. Did you see that the guy that's played Emperor Palpatine for all of the movies... Surprise, he's in
he's
this.
He's coming back.
Who? Emperor Palpatine is dead, so I'm sure that it's going to be
it's
like,
going to be a ghost.
It's
like,
going to be a ghost like
yeah.
Obi-Wan
yeah.
is in the... Yeah. Did you hear about that, Michael?
Yeah, I did.
The guy who's played, the guy who's played Emperor Palpatine since like... It was,
he's been dead for 4 years.
That's,
he
yeah.
was... What?
Huh?
No. He was like...
No.
He was like 20 years old when he played Emperor Palpatine the first time, and they just did a bunch of makeup. And then when he played him in the prequels,
he actually looks like an old man. Looks like Bob
and they're just like, we don't actually have to do that much makeup because he is actually an old man now.
It frustrates me so much that there was no other than that there was nothing. We didn't get a date. We didn't get casting rumors. We didn't get anything.
Hey, I got what I wanted.
No news is good news.
Michael, you can testify that
that's
I complain about the lack of Star Wars news pretty frequently, don't I?
Daily.
Yeah. But what did you say? It's probably going to be San Diego next year, because that still would put it a year out from the movie being out.
Which is fine.
So that's...
What movie? What are you talking about?
Star Wars, the new Star Wars.
7.
It'll be out in 2015, so San Diego
yeah, next,
2014.
Next San Diego Comic-Con.
If they put, like, Jar Jar Binks' kids in it, can we boycott it?
I don't think Jar Jar Binks' kids are going to be in it.
Yeah, I hope not.
Because that'd be awful.
I just... And you're right.
That cut out, but I think I'm glad that it did. people can piece that together. Anyway,
and that's fine that they want to kind of reserve it for next. But they didn't give us anything, nothing. If they would have just came out and said, "Oh, Harrison Ford, The original
Which
three
still,
are coming back.
Still,
I'd be fine.
I don't even know why I care if that's confirmed or not, because it's very obvious that they are
right.
going to be in
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But
even
still, a confirmation would be
lady
nice.
Lady plays Leia? Isn't she, like, falling apart?
She's not looking so hot. None of them really are.
None of them are looking so hot.
As long as she doesn't put the slave outfit on again, I think I'll be okay.
What if she... That's just the opening, like, crawl. Instead of it being in space, just her and...
It's her whole body. The camera just goes slowly through every crevice. It looks like the Death Star trench.
It's a close-up shot, and then it backs out, and it's just...
I'm talking about the fat rolls. I'm not getting gross here.
It'll actually just look like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. They've just traded places.
Yes. You're gonna think it's Jabba the Hutt.
Nobody can see what he's doing. But he's doing the Jabba lick. Like that.
She's doing that.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's, she's just drooling over a donut, like
yeah,
a Krispy Kreme.
Wasn't she addicted to like some sort of...
All kinds of drugs. All the drugs. So just name a drug.
Anything. Yeah.
She was for a long time, she was actually addicted to failure.
Hey, she was in a... Because
she had plenty of it.
Movie.
That's right.
She
played the nun.
She played the nun.
Yeah.
Actually, I think that was just... She was... I think they just happened to...
She was actually just driving that Jeep.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
And
she was... They actually found her like that. Oh, man. This
anyway,
is fun.
Yeah, this is a good one. Nuns.
So, that's basically the comics for the week. So busy.
Yeah,
it was
a big week. And not only was it just in a big week in comics, but we don't really talk that much about TV
here. I think.
But one of our best, or the best TV shows on television. Yeah. The moment of glory
this
week. This
is our moment of glory.
Yeah. Moment of glory this week is the return of Breaking Bad.
Woo!
Which...
Which Alec and I are excited about. Everyone
I love
else
that show
is
so
like,
much.
Well, whatever. Bryan Cranston, guys. He was the dad on Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm. He was.
He played two different villains on Power Rangers.
Oh, what? I didn't
yeah,
know.
Now you have. Now you have my ear.
Villains.
Who did he play?
I don't know who they were, but that's on his IMDb profile.
He was Bulk and Skull. He was both of them.
That's awesome. No, he
it
also. Also, some news.
He was Rita.
News pertaining to Bryan Cranston. He is one of the front runners for Lex Luthor in
which I think would be fine.
The Batman Superman movie.
I don't want it to be.
I agree. That
yeah.
would be okay. Either of him or Kevin Spacey.
He's a little older than I would want, just like in looks. But I'm okay with that if they just kind of go with like a more gristly, like hardened Lex Luthor.
I think they should use Gene Hackman.
Just bring him back.
Since he did such a good job the first.
Or Ned Beatty, just like the roles are, reversed. I don't know. I think he'd be a good Lex Luthor. I'm okay with it being. But anyway, off track.
Breaking Bad. Moment of glory. I think the moment of glory is when they're in the garage and Hank. He's like trying not. Like Hank's like, I know it's you, and he's like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. And then finally, he snaps around and goes. Okay, Hank, you know so
if
much
you
about
think it's me.
Yeah.
You
He's
should
like,
probably
do something about it.
You should probably not do anything.
Yeah.
Like, just,
I really like that.
I thought for sure, because there's 8 episodes left, I thought for sure that would come like episode like 4 of them coming back, like the actual confrontation between them. And to happen the first episode back in the last. And just like the moment where Hank realizes that, okay. He's found the. And sorry, these aren't really spoilers, right?
By the time this is out, people should have seen the first episode.
Yeah,
of the season.
If you're not, I'm sorry, but when
I'm anxious to start season one.
Like, when he finds the tracking thing on his car, and then he pushes the button, and the garage door starts closing, and it just so slow.
Yeah,
and just it's so great.
He
oh my God.
An update in Power Rangers. He played Snizzard. And Twin Man.
Twin Man. Snizzard sounds kind of dirty.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Snizzard my
nizzard. I think I'm going to start using Snizzard to mean other things.
The other one, did you say Cut Man? He's like a Mega Man villain.
Twin
Metal Man.
He's like 57. He's pushing 60.
Yeah, he's an older guy.
But,
I thought that entire episode was... It's proof why it's one of the best written shows... ever. Like, it's so
it's
good.
It's very cleverly written, and everything is important. And
there are no cutaway, there are no throwaway scenes, like, everything means something in the entire show.
There are still things from the first season that are, like, still popping up in this last fifth season. It's pretty impressive.
And... Oh, sorry. What?
No, I just was still reading up on him. He actually did an animation voice in Clerks, the animated series. We'll have to try to figure out who he was.
Oh, I love that.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this, but Badger's, like, a minute and a half Star Trek...
I saw they did an animated thing.
I mean, it was so funny.
That's funny.
Scotty beams his guts out into space. It was great.
That's what fanfic's all about. But that, I mean, that kind of, and we'll get to this later, but our topic today is going to be about, like, nerd stereotypes.
Yeah.
And that is actually kind of what brought that up for me is... That is what people think nerds are.
Nerd.
Just people who sit around and, like, talk about what they wish happened in Star Trek, which I did just talk about what I wish happened in Star Wars.
I was going to say,
but,
as we're recording a podcast about in Star Wars, but
you know what I mean? Like, we're going to talk about that a little bit later
today
and kind of deal with the issues that go along with nerdiness and its popularity now. But first, before we get to that, we're going to talk a little bit about the Inhumans.
Good, Julian.
Julian Andrews is very versatile. But, like I said earlier, give me a musical and I'm happy. So
we're going to talk about the Inhumans a little bit today. And that stems from... Alec was asking me about them because...
Because Black Bolt is in Infinity.
Infinity,
sorry. I'm watching him do whatever he's doing.
I was doing jumping jacks.
Black Bolt is a huge part of Infinity, and Medusa is obviously in FF, but I know very little to nothing about the Inhumans. Black Bolt's also in the New Avengers, which is really cool. I don't know, you don't read New Avengers at all, do you, Michael?
I don't read New Avengers, but Black Bolt was part of the stuff that I used to collect back in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah. I like I said, I know very little about him.
And some of the Inhuman stuff will help you out with what was going on in FF just recently with Maximus the Mad, who's like a...
It's his brother.
Black Bolt's brother, and he's a, like, awesome character. But
that's going on in FF? Because he's a big part in Infinity as well.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's building something. Anyway, go ahead and explain.
So the Inhumans are basically... well, they're these characters that are basically self-induced mutants. If you will, like they're another species, and they go through this thing that they call the mist, and at a certain age, and once they go through the mist, then they get.
Is that Stephen King Thomas Jane movie?
Not the Thomas Jane where he's like where he kills bugs. Where he kills everybody 5 minutes before rescue comes, and then he does the classic Thomas Jane cry where he's just like.
Maria!
Thomas Jane in, like, that scene and the scene in Punisher where his family gets run over are the exact same scene. Like, they just use the exact same recording of him going,
Okay, I want to just record that and have that as my ringtone.
Me doing a Thomas Jane.
That's how I hear your voice.
Yeah.
Well, so Inhumans, back to Inhumans, that has nothing to do with Thomas Jane. I don't even know where I came from on that.
I think he's going to play Black Bolt.
There you go.
Because his screams would shatter planets.
He's got like a nice, he's got a strong chin. But he actually wouldn't be terrible for a Black Bolt.
I called it.
Yeah, you heard it, nerd management reports first. Thomas Jane.
Breaking news.
So, well, I guess Inhumans, the first main character would be Black Bolt. He's the king of the Inhumans. Basically, so they go through this mist at a certain age and get powers, and there's a royal family structure to kind of like how it all works, and they're like a really like tight-knit family, and that's how the Fantastic Four met them is... people from that royal family actually showed up in Fantastic Four before anyone even knew what they were. Mm-hmm. And I think I have most of these issues. I don't have issue 36, but Fantastic Four 36 is when Medusa first shows up. And she actually shows up as one of the Frightful Four, which is the Wingless Wizard is this Fantastic Four villain that always finds three other people to form a team to fight the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And Medusa was one of them, and she's just like this mysterious character and who, like, her hair moves, and she uses it as a weapon. And so she just shows up in Fantastic Four 36 as part of the 5-4, and everyone's like, who is this lady? And there's a lot of mystery surrounding her. And then in issue 44, which I do have, Gorgon appears, who is like this big, strong guy with like goat legs.
Yeah.
And he can jump and stomp really hard, which I don't know how that's a power, stomping. It's like, ah. Like,
just I pout really
hard. Yeah. Gorgon's the best powder. But yeah, so we have Gorgon, and he's the cousin of Medusa and Black Bolt. And he basically can, like, he's basically like the Rhino of the Inhumans. Like, he just,
he's the
he
muscle.
Can run through
he's
things,
the Drax,
he stomps a lot.
And Drax the Destroyer of the Inhumans.
And so he shows up in 44, and then in 45, that's when we get introduced to the Inhumans as a whole, and the royal family, Black Bolt, Medusa, Crystal, who, Crystal is, her name is Crystal Maximoff because she's actually Quicksilver's ex-wife. And so that's... That would be tricky if they did the whole movie thing, because Quicksilver obviously is going to be in Avengers and the Fantastic or and the X-Men movie, because somehow they both own the rights to the character.
But and they're sort of Celestials, which Fox owns.
Right, exactly. So I would say because of that, Fox has more right to him than Marvel Studios
right.
does. But who knows how all that nonsense works? But anyway, Crystal ends up falling in love with Johnny Storm at one point, and she marries a lot of people. Now she's married to Ronan the Accuser.
Right.
Crystal really gets around that one.
Which, isn't Ronan supposed to be in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yes. That is very tricky. But the Inhumans would have to be in a Fantastic Four movie. I
right,
can't
it's
see
Fantastic
them
Four,
being
yeah.
in like the Marvel Studios stuff, because they're so important to Fantastic Four, and we'll talk about it a little more like in a couple of weeks. We're going to have like a getting to know you special of Jack Kirby, because August 28th is Jack Kirby's birthday, so
yeah.
August 29th we'll be recording a pretty Jack Kirby centric
really,
podcast,
I mean,
for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much all this month. I mean, it's
yeah, and so this month
Kirby.
Our getting to know you. That's why we're talking about the Inhumans today a little
we
bit.
We call it Kirby Your Enthusiasm.
Kirby Your Enthusiasm.
Kirby Your Enthusiasm.
And next week we're going to talk a little bit about the New Gods, so we'll get into some Kirby stuff, but. When Jack Kirby created these characters, he created them for Fantastic Four, and so that's why I think it'd be weird for them to use it in like the Marvel Studios stuff.
That would be weird.
But Crystal obviously has ties to both franchises.
Now, isn't Crystal also Medusa's sister?
Or she is in
she
is Medusa's sister.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And she can manipulate Earth, Wind, and Fire, not the band, like the elements.
Oh, that would be so cool. If she
you
just...
remember that?
She's just able to, you know.
Yeah, no, that, yeah. And then, like, the whole band just follows her around. That'd actually be a way better power if you just had Earth, Wind, and Fire at your disposal.
Just the entire, like, 20 members of Earth, Wind, and Fire just following her around at all
just
times.
Just an army of trumpeteers. But then there's Karnak, who is, he can find the weakness in anything just by touching it. And so, like, all of his punches and karate chops and stuff are super deadly because he knows exactly where to hit you to kill you. So,
yeah.
He's kind of a big deal. He typically, like, when they've squared off against the Fantastic Four, sometimes they're allies, sometimes they're enemies. When they've squared off against him, he's typically put up against the Thing because the Thing's hard to move, but if you're Karnak, you know exactly where to hit him.
So right. Where do you hit him?
I'm not exactly sure. I don't know that it's ever been clear. It's just like... It's just like... It's just like Karnak knows.
I'm satisfied with Michael's answer. It's
yeah,
okay.
I mean,
Karnak's a master of martial arts. Medusa, by the way, is now in FF. So
yeah.
That's kind of a little
yeah.
throwback there.
Which, and I have some, we need to talk about some FF news that got announced today a little bit later. But
I don't even know about that for sure. Are we talking? We'll talk about it in a second. Then there's Triton, who is a fish-like character. But I think he actually made his debut early on, too, in some of the... Namor stuff.
Well, yeah, because he said that. I'm thinking of. Never mind. Go ahead. I'm thinking of the two fish characters in the Future Foundation.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you know.
Then there's Lockjaw. Of course, he's the royal family. He looks like a dog.
Yeah,
he's actually part of the family, and he can teleport people in and out of different dimensions.
Oh, that's cool.
And then there's, of course, we know Maximus the Mad. They have a cousin called the Unspoken, but as you can imagine, there's not really a whole lot about him. He's just a character that they're just like, we don't really talk about him. And then,
he's the cousin Eddie of the Inhumans.
Yes. And then there's Luna, who is Quicksilver and Crystal's daughter. And then that's the whole royal family, and gets you...
So, I guess my question is, what is Black Bolt's power? Because I know that he's able to do basically... Like,
with one word, he could destroy a universe. Like, Black Bolt's power is his voice. Like, he has the most powerful voice in the universe.
Okay.
And so, that's why... he and Medusa communicate telepathically, and then she kind of is like a messenger for him, because if he were to speak, he would just kill everybody.
Can you imagine if he sang an opera?
I know.
Whoa.
Clayken is going to be cast as Black Bolt in the Inhumans movie. I'd watch that in a second.
Guys, I'm Black Bolt.
Yeah, but you would be dead before you even got to the
second one. That's right. It's Black.
I don't think Black Bolt's voice kills him. That would be a terrible power. If you spoke, you also would die.
You would also die.
It's like...
If Black used his iPhone to set a voice recording for him.
Yeah, that's a good question. Is he allowed to transfer his voice into...
technology. I don't know.
Because in all of New Avengers, he doesn't speak whatsoever. He just stands there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was honestly, in New Avengers, was the first time that I was ever introduced to him. And I was just like, all right, he's just a dude that doesn't talk, maybe, or whatever. And then in Infinity, this month, actually, I think it's a monthly. But he says, stop, and that's it. And even in the bubble that he says it in, it's like minuscule. It's so tiny.
Yeah.
And then just destruction. So I thought definitely, you know, that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up, because I had no idea. I had no clue about
him.
He's
a really cool character. I like the Inhumans a lot. There are some stories with them that are not as good as others, but that's just any character is going to be like
that. Well, there's not a whole lot you can do with a dude that can't talk.
The stuff that Jack Kirby did with them originally, and especially like how he introduced them, and some would argue that Stan Lee did it because he was the writer, but back then at Marvel... The artist would draw a book, and then the writer just had to make up dialogue and a plot for it. Really, the artist did the plot because they said, this thing happens, and then this thing happens, and then this thing happens, and the writer had to kind of put words in it.
Yeah.
So, I would say that...
It's what they do today, right?
Jack Kirby... Oh, yeah. Jack Kirby definitely did more of the plotting, I think, in Fantastic Four in the early years than Stan Lee, I would say.
Yeah.
And so, the stuff that he did with the Inhumans and the mystery of, like, introducing them issues before they actually were introduced as a whole, just kind of like trickling characters in.
Yeah.
And actually, what's really astounding is Avalon, their homeworld, was actually in a short story that he did that was in Captain America number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the story was called Tuck the Cave Boy. And it's basically, I mean, he ended up using a similar story when he wrote... Commandy, like it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
and we'll talk about that when we talk about Jack Kirby, how he kind of like bounced his ideas back and forth between Marvel and DC, whoever hired him at the time, and the New Gods are like this whole thing that basically came from his original Thor plot for when he worked for Marvel. So we'll talk about that a little bit next week. But that's pretty much it for the getting to know you. Unless you have anything else to chime in.
No, I like the fact. That the Inhumans are so... Like, nobody really gets them. You know what I mean? Like, they're...
Right, yeah, they're on their own.
Right, they're on their own, and they kind of do whatever they want. They're very much royalty. So, I mean, you know, the fact that Medusa's in FF, which I really like...
Yeah.
It's just, it's... I don't know, they're kind of a cool set of characters that, you know...
What was that FF announcement you were talking about?
Well...
Go for it.
Edgar Wright is obviously he's making Ant-Man early Phase 3, first movie in Phase 3.
Yeah.
And it's it wasn't announced today, but it was definitely kind of hinted at that Simon Pegg may play Ant-Man,
which we don't know which one, but if it's Scott Lang, that would be directly tied to FF.
Exactly.
I mean, I think he'd be good as Scott Lang. I think he'd also be good as O'Grady, who was like criminally Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I guess Scott Lang really started out as a criminal. He stole Hank Pym's stuff.
But. Yeah. Well, I don't think he'd be a good Hank Pym. Because Hank Pym's a very serious, like, not... You know,
he's kind of a jerk, too. He like, beats his wife.
I was going to say, he kind of beat his wife, so... but I think... And maybe... The only thing I have from Scott Lang is that Fraction writes him, and how Fraction writes him is very funny and very kind
and
of...
And would fit the whole, like...
Right, exactly.
Simon Pegg's whole demeanor.
Exactly, and I, you know... I personally like that. That
yeah.
kind of news.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And I mean, it's Edgar Wright. I mean, it's, you know... He's not going to make a bad movie.
Exactly.
I mean, so, but, you know, that's kind of the FF news. Those are the more you know, Tiffany.
All right, so...
Don't you feel smarter now that we've talked about
this? I do. I feel
news?
So smart.
So let's dive into our topic real quick about nerdiness and what it all is. We don't have a whole lot of time to dive into this topic, but we'll dive into it and we'll just kind of see where it goes.
I'm sorry.
Basically, what I wanted to talk about today
is... I say time be darned. Just talk about it.
Screw you, time. We're going to do what we want. Kronos. not the time clock we have to use at work, Michael. Like the Greek god or something.
It's the Titan. He was Zeus's dad.
Oh, right. And he came out of the
room. Wow, Warner.
And then
wow.
Zeus came out of his brain when his brain exploded.
Yeah.
Play the more you know right now.
I don't know. It's not queued up.
Oh, jam. Play the more you know.
Oh, jam. That's why we need the board.
The board.
Banta,
Chris Banta, you need to get on.
Where are you at, Chris Banta? Okay, so... I wanted to talk about this because, well, a little bit with Breaking Bad and that whole Star Trek thing, and like that's how people picture nerds. But again today, for the 800th time this week, somebody said, "Well, you watch Big Bang Theory, don't you?" And I just banged my head against the wall because I don't watch Big Bang Theory because that's not like everyone just sees me reading comics and they're like. Everyone sees me reading comics, and they're like, "Well, clearly he watches Big Bang Theory and Star Trek and wants to talk about geometry." Nah.
So, okay.
Like, all of us are anti-Big Bang Theory, and you aren't.
You're super smart.
You're a genius. And I'll let you have your own time to... Because you actually like the Big
Bang
Theory.
To be fair, I do like... I really enjoy science. Michael and I have started looking... he actually introduced me to that YouTube channel... Vsauce.
Vsauce is great.
And
Vsauce 2 is also
It blew
really
my
good.
Mind.
Yeah, no,
because there's
awesome.
This whole thing about color
That's
and how we perceive it.
That's one of those shows is blow your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's about how colors and how we perceive it and how your green may not be my green, but the color that you are seeing, you've learned to call it green.
Yeah.
How I also see, I could be seeing a different color and that's what I've learned to call it green and we just...
Yeah. How do we know that green, that is green?
And when he told me that, I was like, well, because, you know, I was like, green's the color of grass. Oh, wait, you might see grass different than me. What? Yeah, so my whole mind was blown by that. But anyway, so I'm into science and things like that. Like, I really enjoy any time that there's some kind of scientific discovery. Things like that really interest me.
Yeah.
And I like to have my mind blown like that. And I like comics. And I like Star Wars. But that doesn't mean that I want to watch the Big Bang Theory. That doesn't mean I want to watch the Big Bang Theory. And it also doesn't mean that I'm like those guys in the Big Bang Theory. And it also doesn't mean that I'm going to go to Gen Con this weekend. No offense to Gen Con, but that's not my
Gen Con's not terrible.
Everybody has asked me, "You go to the Gen Con just because they know I'm like 10% nerdy." Like, they...
Well, you're married to Warner Swope. You're supposed to go to Gen Con.
Yeah.
The only reason I go to Gen Con is because Mr. Peter Davidson is
there. Peter Davidson is there this year, and that's awesome. But I met him in Chicago.
Right,
so,
yeah.
But,
I mean, you don't need to meet him again.
The Fifth Doctor.
I will say Gen
Con
is...
I mean, if I can meet him at a pub downtown for some fish and chips, that'd be jolly good fun. But...
Jesus.
Terrible British accent.
Yeah. No, Gen Con's actually not too bad. But, and I'm sorry if anybody likes... And I know you like Big Bang Theory. Personally... I think it's the worst thing to happen to nerds since the prequel trilogy.
And here's my problem with it is, one, people think that because I like nerdy things, that means
it's automatically associated.
I love Big Bang Theory.
No.
And two, and you know, the show, I don't enjoy it. That doesn't mean it's a terrible show. I don't like shows with laugh tracks. So part of that is that.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't like laugh tracks.
Yeah.
But
Seinfeld is the exception.
Seinfeld is the exception, but
and Roseanne.
But
Roseanne is the exception.
To me,
I love Roseanne more than anything in this world.
And so you would think that you would like Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
All right, you guys have pounded on Big Bang Theory a lot. I think it's time for Michael and everybody to defend everybody else.
Well, hang on. The problem is not that people think. That I am like those guys on that show. That's fine. Whatever. If you want to think that I'm like that, that's fine. The problem that I have is just jocks and total douchebags and bros.
Which
also watch Big Bang Theory, and then they say, I'm a nerd because I watch Big Bang Theory. And then you're like, so who all has been Batman? And they're like,
Christian Bale.
No. And then I'm like, no. Like, actual Batman in the comics, who's been Batman? They're like, who did Christian Bale? He played Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne was Batman, right?
Right.
Like, there have been like three Batmans. Shut up!
I have.
Get out of here, you bro.
Something that's going
Bunch of bros and Bridgets telling me how Batman goes.
I have a theory about nerds, and I'm going to lay it all out on the line for you guys
once you are done disputing
the Big Bang
Theory. Okay, Michael, give us some feedback. Why do you like, what is it that you like about the Big Bang Theory?
I like 30-minute episodic comedies, and it just happens to be that that's really funny. It's made by the people who did Two and a Half Men when it was good.
I agree with you that I like 30-minute comedies. Like, Modern Family is one of my all-time favorites, and Michael, we agree on that one. New Girl.
I'm not saying that Big Bang Theory is the greatest show ever. It is kind of offensive that people lump nerds or whatever you choose to be called into that, and they think that people who watch that, or they think that they're themselves are nerds. I just like comedies that are funny.
Yeah,
sure.
I can agree with that. And for that, I could watch it. And maybe part of the reason I don't like that show is because people have pounded in my head that I have to like this show because of some cultural stereotype.
The main reason I don't like the show,
it's real racist.
It is.
Now, the main reason why I don't like the show is you're supposed to sympathize with Penny, who's this, you know, straight-laced, she's dumb, but she's straight-laced white girl who happens to live across the hall from these nerdy, kooky guys. And it almost makes, like, for nerdy people to like that show, it almost, like, I'm all for, like, laughing at myself, but we're the butt of the jokes the entire show.
I could see that.
And so it's like, you know, you can make fun of yourself, that's fine. But, like, to just basically just crap on you for, you know, how long? 8 seasons now? Something like that? I don't know.
It's lasted a long time.
You know, it's just, it's not.
But
I think this is going to be the start of season 8.
Okay, so, exactly. So, and I mean, you know, I can count on one hand how many times, and I've seen probably, I think I've seen the entire first season. After that, I decided, yeah, this show's not for me at all. But I can count on one hand how many times the butt of the joke is actually someone who isn't from the group of nerds. Like, because that's what they think is going to be funny. Oh, Batman, blah, 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 Halo 3, blah. It's not funny. I'm sorry. I apologize. Anyway.
Again, we're not trying to attack you, Michael. Well, really,
everybody's entitled to their opinion, whether it's wrong or not.
I don't want people to think that we're attacking the show, and I don't want them to think that. I don't want them to think that, like, because they like Big Bang Theory, they can't be friends with us.
No, absolutely not.
It's just I personally do not like Big Bang Theory, and I hate the fact that people think that I have to.
Well, and
here's another main reason I like that show. There are so many people on that show that are from TV shows in the 90s.
Yeah.
You have three recurring characters from Roseanne.
Yeah.
You have Keith Carradine, who is the son of, you know, self-mutilating Kung Fu guy.
Kung Fu guy.
David Carradine.
David Carradine, yeah.
Kill Bill also killed himself.
A lot of throwback.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
I do. Well, and what was one of the big things for me was a couple years ago, they did a Comic-Con panel, and I listened to the Nerdist podcast. I don't know if anybody else does, but and he recorded it and put it up. And, you know, one of the questions from the audience was, you know, so you guys are on a nerdy show. What do you guys do that's nerdy? And every single one of them knew or didn't know anything about what they were actually. And I understand it's an acting gig. I completely understand that, but
they probably get as frustrated by like nerdy people asking them nerdy questions and them not knowing.
Sure,
the same as I do. People coming up to me and be like, "You love Big Bang Theory, don't you?
Right?
Where's your Bazinga shirt?"
Yeah, which that just don't even start with.
Anyway, but
it's a baby show with a catchphrase that's been around since the 70s.
Okay, but what was Roseanne's catchphrase?
What you talking about, Michael?
Don't put food in my mouth!
So, wah, Dan, wah.
Sandwiches.
When you did that Roseanne impression, reminded me of two things. It reminded me of Burgess Meredith as the Penguin in Batman, the Batman 60s. And also, it reminded me of Snooki from the Jersey Shore. Snooki is a real life Roseanne. Just let that sink in for a second.
Let's have a moment of just like realization.
Yeah. Soak that away.
I don't think Blues Traveler is showing up in her life.
I love that show so much. I'm sorry.
We have to do a special roast.
Oh, absolutely.
I love John Goodman. So.
Oh, John Goodman's great.
I mean, he's one of my favorite actors of all time. But anyway, back on track.
Comic book.
We decided to call this. Originally we were going to call this podcast the N word, and that was going to be basically because like the word nerd started out as like a diss on people.
It's a taboo industry.
And then people who were nerdy were like, oh, it's kind of cool to be nerdy. Well, now it's like a public thing where like people who aren't even into comic books or video games or any of that stuff are like, oh, I'm so nerdy. And they think it's a cool thing. And it's like, you know, there's people wearing like the big glasses and it's not even like they really need glasses, which I've done that before. But the point is, it's like the whole point of our podcast is like, it's okay to be nerdy, but you got to really be nerdy. Like, that's the whole point. Yeah. So okay.
That's the perfect segue for this.
Okay.
You ready? Okay. There are four categories of nerd.
Okay.
For me. Okay.
I like where
there
is
what I call the exploratory nerd. Okay. And this is what I put both of you in. Michael, I'm not quite sure about you yet because I don't know what all of your brain holds in regards to information. The exploratory nerd says, okay, this character is really cool, Superman. I'm not going to be satisfied for what I just saw in this movie. I'm going to go back and read a bunch of comics. I'm going to go back and do a lot of research, find out where the character came from, find out what has happened, what story arcs are important, what timeline things are important, and start reading now. So they're going to figure out what's going on. They're not going to be satisfied with the...
with just what you're
the
doing.
The shell.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to dig down deep into it, which is what I consider you guys.
Like,
they
want to
dive in and figure out what's going on. I can name a movie, and Warner can tell me who the director is.
Sure.
The actors. And what all he's done
right.
in the past
I was
years.
IMDb before IMDb.
Then,
there
is the informative nerd. The informed nerd, sorry. Who knows a little bit, but doesn't care too much to go back to do all the past research, but knows what's going on right now.
Right.
Okay, just because they want to stay current.
The college sophomore of nerds.
There you go.
Very good.
This next category is what I put myself into, which is the casual nerd. I don't
the married
read...
into nerd.
You can say that, but it's the casual nerd. The casual nerd.
Nerd in law.
The casual nerd picks and chooses what they choose to be nerdy about. There are specific things that they really like that they want to know a little bit about. And like I said, most of my information comes from Warner, so I get a lot of my comic information from him, but if there are things that I like Game of Thrones or Serenity or something like that, I figure out what I like about it and I read it and I get some back information on it.
Yeah.
So that's what I throw myself into is just the casual nerd. There are some things here and there that I like.
I have a follow-up question. Which one of those categories enjoys Weird Al Yankovic's White and Nerdy?
The next one is my all-time favorite, and I think this is what the Big Bang Theory has created, and that is the Walmart nerd.
Yeah.
I like that.
The Walmart nerd is the person that sees the t-shirts for $7 and says, there's a Captain America shirt, I'm going to like that. And now, I think that the guy from Smallville is going to be in the next Superman movie, or the Justice League movie, or I just know everything about it because it's cool
because
right now.
You know what's going on
it's cool right now, so I know what's happening.
That's very good. I like that.
Those are my four categories of nerds.
I like that, actually.
That was good input.
Thank you.
Yeah, everybody get,
see, I'm not
I think
I'm
this would be a good way to put in a segment where we're like, we pick a celebrity who's like pseudo nerdy and put them into one of those four categories.
Yeah, that'd be so good.
So Dominic Monaghan.
Maybe we'll start. Dominic Monaghan is definitely like what we are.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Whatever she
for
said, the first one was. Sure. Yeah. So Tiffany looks like she's heading out. Tiffany's left the building.
Well, and we'll end this as soon as. But it also expands on it, like, we both genuinely love Star Wars to a point where it's not healthy. Like, yeah. I mean, we
talked for, in our original podcast that
we
talked isn't for, even up anymore. We
right.
talked at length about the skiff guards at Jabba the Hutt's palace.
Exactly.
And it was ridiculous.
You are concerned. You are genuinely concerned with Wedge Antilles.
Exactly. The perfect example.
He deserves an award for what he did for the galaxy.
Recognition. But it almost makes me not want to like Star Wars because that kind of gets lumped into the things like, oh, well, I've seen all the Star Wars movies. I'm totally a nerd. Like, you're not.
You can't abandon what you
grown
to love. Just because a lot of people have chose to enjoy it as well.
I completely agree. The way I look at it is to be a nerd, you have to like something, but then you have to be passionate about it. You have to, you know, almost like comics. I love comics. I live, breathe, eat, poop, pee comics. And so
I will not read those.
I wouldn't.
Although Bendis has been really good with Guardians of the Galaxy and all new X-Men, sometimes I feel like Bendis poops comics.
Blah.
Anyway, I'm gonna say this at the end here, but you totally led me into this, so I apologize, everyone. But Alec did this, and it wouldn't be nerd management if I didn't talk about Swamp Thing. But listen. There is a local comic.
At least you made it.
There is
long.
A local comic book shop, and not. We're losing you, Michael.
Oh no!
Oh, there is a local comic book shop, and not Comic Book University, which we love and we talk about a lot. Yeah. By the way, check out Comic Book University. It's a place to get comics in Indianapolis. You can get them online as well if you're not in Indianapolis area. But check out Comic Book University, and they're great. And that is not the store that did this to me. But a local to Indianapolis comic book store, I went in one day and asked them where their Swamp Thing comics were because it was very unorganized, their back issues. And
does it run with Schmountown and Schmalix?
No.
Okay.
And this guy sighed at me and goes, ugh, another one for Swamp Thing. Everybody's been coming in here for Swamp Thing since the relaunch. And I said, hold up, dude. I liked Swamp Thing before Swamp Thing was cool. And I felt bad because I was in kind of a hipster part of town.
Sure.
And I said the most hipster thing you possibly could.
I was
going to
say, but, so then did you push up your bottle, your
then,
Coke
but
bottle
it,
glasses?
It made me mad that he did that. He treated me like one of those Walmart nerds.
Right.
Of like, oh, everyone loves Swamp Thing now since Scott Snyder's writing Swamp Thing. Everybody loves Swamp Thing. But I, you know, this guy didn't realize that I have the first appearance of Swamp Thing signed by the writer and the artist, and I have the first 13 issues of Swamp Thing. Like, I'm not the kind of guy that goes in there and is like, hey, I want to see some Swamp Thing because I like Scott Snyder.
But to give him credit, he didn't know you. He didn't know. But it,
I have
it was
Swamp
wrong
Thing
of him.
On my arm. I don't know if it was showing at the time, but like.
But it was wrong of him to just assume that you were.
It made me mad that, like, even still, even if I was that Walmart nerd.
Yeah.
What right does he have? And I work in retail, so I understand getting frustrated, repetitive customers. But what right did he have to just be like, when I said, do you have Swamp Thing comics? To go, ugh, another Swamp Thing guy.
Right. And see, at CBU, you know, you
ask. You never get mistreated
that
by Robin Dare at Comic Book University.
ComicBookUniversity.com gets your worst comics.
Boy, those are some classy chaps, eh?
Yes, they are. I think I should be a radio DJ just for one entire episode. Get yourself a two-pack pair of tickets. See Tom Petty of the Heartbreakers. You know, anyway.
All right, guys. Well, that's more than enough.
Say, I think that's a
that's
good
more than enough time that we have tonight, guys. Thanks again, Michael, for joining us on the podcast.
Say bye, Michael.
Everyone, just remember that if you don't like what we're saying, then go complain about it on the eBay completed auctions.
Follow Nerd Management at NerdMGMT on Twitter, and follow Alec Ward at The Alec Ward and Warner Swopes at Warner Swopes on Twitter.
Also, don't forget to check out Fanboy Factor, our new home for Nerd Management.